Namahi nui kia koutou. I'm Tania Carr and you're listening to the Real Talk podcast. Here at Real Talk, we create space for authenticity, awareness, and making a positive impact on the world around us. Real talk, real people, real stories. Kia ora, kia ora, kia ora. Now, I thought I'd share with you that we are just about to launch our Real Talk book, and this will be available to purchase on realtalknz.co.nz. Now, before I start, I want to say thank you a million times to all the beautiful souls who have gracefully shared their painful, their inspirational, and their strength-giving stories in this book to help make a difference in the world. Ranira, Pania, Jess, Greer, Elise, Vanessa, Grace, Arden, Hunter, and Ari, thank you, my friends. Your words will live on and continue to inspire so many through this book. Thank you. So in order to kick things off with the book, I thought I would share with you all a snippet of my story that is in the book. So here we go. This is a snippet of my story. It's important to note that my story has some sensitive content in it and it may be triggering for you. So please make sure you reach out, you talk to somebody, you seek some help if you need it. This is a snippet of my story. On a cold evening in Cannons Creek, Porirua, a girl sat on the edge of her bed staring out the window overlooking the dark street. Her heart pounding so heavily she thought it might burst from her chest. At just 15, she was about to make the most terrifying decision of her life, which would change the direction of her path entirely. Under the blankets, her baby sister lay sleeping beside her, sending a wave of guilt to wash over the girl as she imagined leaving the two-year-old behind in the cold, damp, mouldy state house. But after years of being raised in an environment riddled with abuse, drugs, and alcohol, the girl could no longer stand peering into a tunnel vision future that resembled their very environment causing her harm. Although she wondered what might be waiting for her on the other side of the window if she jumped out, the girl knew for certain she didn't want the future where children watch women being dragged down gravel roads by their hair. She didn't want a life that included knives being thrown at women intentionally, glass bottles being smashed over people's heads in the backyard she called home, or kids and women enduring violence without the bat of an eyelid discarded like yesterday's trash. Home is where the heart is, they say. So why did she feel so alone? Following a burning desire that told her she was destined for a better life, like a magnet pulling her to escape, the girl made the courageous giant leap into the chilly air and ran. While the guilt and sadness of leaving behind her five little sisters would haunt her for almost three decades later, the girl's departure went on to create lasting ripple effects that broke generational cycles of limiting beliefs, addiction, trauma, and abuse. That girl, the girl from Cannons Creek who dreamed of a better life, was me, Tania Carr, co-founder of Real Talk NZ. Now, a mother of three myself and a successful business owner and entrepreneur, I've shared my story of struggle and success with thousands of people across Aotearoa and the world. Finally, at the age of 43, I'm opening the lid on truths I wish someone had told me during the darkest times of my life, in hope it'll help other young women and men step into their light. Running away from home that evening was the catalyst for a major shift in the story of my life, which I spoke honestly about for the first time in 2019 at a young mum's group in Porirua. The heavy weight I constantly felt started to lift, a sense of healing started to take place for me, and when I looked around the room, not a dry eye in sight, I knew right then and there that there was a massive power in being vulnerable, being truthful about our experiences to overcome trauma, to help release the shame that we carry, a shame that is not ours to carry. Often when I stand on stage in front of an audience to share parts of my story, I paint a picture of my childhood comparing it to the 1994 Kiwi film Once Were Warriors, which was released the same year that my beautiful daughter Cheyenne was born. At the time, the movie offered a powerful insight into real-life Aotearoa, and almost 30 years later, its message still resonates loudly in a country with one of the highest rates of child abuse in the world. When I watched it, my mind spun around thoughts about the type of future I wanted for my own girl and the possibility of where we were heading. You see, although I came from a household that had rules and enough food to ease my grumbling tummy, with two parents and beautiful sisters I adored, I saw and experienced some things that no child ever should. Some would say this is part and parcel of what life is like when you're raised in a gang environment. There are some seriously negative aspects like drugs, alcohol, physical abuse, sexual abuse, rape, and murder. But on the flip side, there are extremely positive aspects like the whakawhanaungatanga, the kaitiakitanga and the manaakitanga, the family support, the protection and the sense of belonging. And these positive aspects are what continue to attract our men to the gang life. What I speak about on stage is what I'm comfortable sharing. But there are things that I cannot bring myself to even think about, let alone speak about. In all honesty, it seemed normal since it was happening everywhere I looked. Violence and partying were next door, across the road, down the road. It was literally everywhere. I was another bruised mouth forced shut by the ones I loved, holding on to deep, dark secrets that could potentially destroy both myself and others. Police tape, fingerprint dust remnants, blood on the walls, blood on the floor. The wounds, the scars, both physically and mentally, the blood-curdling screams and the silent screams, all these memories stay locked tightly in the vault that I have created within. These memories like to visit me on occasion to remind me of where I've come from and what I've been through. They are reminders to me to be humble, to keep going, to keep fighting, to keep the Real Talk kaupapa going, so that others that are going through this know that they are not alone. There are better days ahead. Did you know all these years later, a child still dies every 5 weeks in New Zealand because of family violence? Worse, these precious tamariki are predominantly under 12 months old. Oranga Tamariki receives 240 calls and emails every day from the community relating to violence and neglect, and those are only the incidents reported. As a little girl, I used to sit on the back porch and stare at the moon, wishing somebody or something would scoop us up and take us away. I wished for protection from the crisis and felt a deep longing to get out and find a better life, even trying to telepathically communicate with the neighbours in the hope that come and ask if I was okay. They never did, because they too were holding onto dark secrets. I wanted a hug, I wanted unconditional love, to feel safe, to feel warm and enough food to have seconds. We would often visit local food banks or apply for government food grants from Work and Income, WINS, formerly Social Welfare, to fill our empty cupboards. When you have a large family, there's a lot of sharing around and you make do with what you've got. My dad was an awesome cook who could literally turn a few ingredients into a delicious hearty meal for us all. But you also learn to eat pretty quickly when everyone is hungry. It's funny because when my sisters and I get together now for a kai, we're always scabbing off each other's plates as we talk and laugh. And when we laugh loud. Definitely an experience and a sight to see when we're out in public. I love my sisters and I'm so proud in each and every one of them and what they have achieved in their lives against all odds. Aroha, Renee, Suze, Ngaio, and Celeste, I love you all so much. You make my world a better place. I love that we have each other's back. We have unconditional love for each other and there is absolutely nothing in the world that compares to unconditional love. My sisters, our children and their children are what will propel Real Talk to the next level, working together as a whānau to contribute to drive the movement forward. Hindsight is an interesting thing. As an adult, I've often wondered what might have happened if someone asked me questions when I arrived back in class after my time off, bearing the remnants of a black eye. I already had my answer prepared anyway. I'd fallen off my bike. Perhaps the teachers never asked because they felt they had no power to help. Maybe they'd seen so much of it around them that although they knew deep down something wasn't right, it was easier for them not to step in. If they had intervened, I sometimes wondered, what would have become of me? I was lucky enough to have a really close bond with my cousins Megan and Felicity. I spent time at their place whenever I was allowed to. It felt like my second home. It was safe and it was comforting. Their mum, my Auntie Janie, was always welcoming of me being at their house. Even though she had four kids of her own to feed, she always made sure there was enough for me too. Marijuana has recently been a hot political debate in New Zealand, and through my lived experience, I can understand both sides of the story. Firstly, I learnt it was money in our pockets and food on our table. But on the flip side, I also learnt how those horticultural endeavours can lay the path for graduating into chemicals being added to the mix, resulting in drug busts, prison time, and an often absent dad from the family home. Unfortunately, in my case as a little girl, the absence of our dad opened the door for opportunities for visitors with ill intentions to visit our home. One dark night as I lay in bed, a visitor came into my room and I'll never forget the words, "I know you're not asleep because I can see your eyes moving." I was sexually abused as a young, innocent girl, not yet 10 years old. Although I continued fighting on through life after that, it broke me. When you experience sexual abuse, you automatically think you did something wrong, like you might have acted in a way that encouraged them, and so you keep silent because they tell you to and because you wear that shame. I carried the weight of what happened for a long time, until I was able to recently let go of the shame, knowing that it was not mine to hold on to. It's only now, after all these years, I've been able to disconnect from that shame and I feel a huge sense of freedom. Releasing it has allowed me to see my pain and suffering as a gift to turn my pain into power and use it to make a positive impact in the world through real talk. I was 10 years old when I first planned and attempted to commit suicide. I wanted to escape the dark world and for the pain and suffering to finally end. When I think back to those moments of just wanting to disappear, I know now the methods I tried would have never worked, which is why they didn't and I'm still here. It wasn't an opportunity for seeking attention because I would have got a hell of a hiding if anyone found out what I was actually doing. However, when you're that young, you can't see the wood for the trees. You can't see the beautiful future ahead that awaits. Your brain isn't fully developed, so you think that's the only way out. I still experience moments of darkness today, but nowhere near the extent I experienced in the past. When things do get tough for me, I say to myself, this too will pass, and it does. Childhood trauma can lead to an adulthood of being in constant survival mode, running, hiding, afraid to be yourself, keeping people at arm's length because of the deeply rooted trust issues. It can keep you playing small because you're often afraid to be seen for who you think you are and who you perceive yourself to be. There is so much beauty in life when you set yourself free from the weight of the past. By the time I jumped out my bedroom window that night, my light had completely dimmed. I knew there had to be a better way, and so on that evening, as my baby sister slept, I made the gut-wrenching decision to leave and not turn back. My boyfriend's auntie knew about what was going on at home for me, and she said I could stay there. Auntie Mai, you and Christina were my saviours. My journey of freedom all started with your love. You offered me an olive branch and you told me that I deserved better. My dad and other gang members soon started door knocking and looking for me, so it was no longer safe for anyone having me stay. I went from house to house offering live-in babysitting duties in exchange for accommodation. Some places I stayed in were less than ideal. We ate potato skins I'd peeled and previously discarded because that's all we had. We were as poor as anything, but in my mind at least I was safe. I'd left home with only the clothes on my back, and so you can imagine a teenage girl had monthly hygiene needs that needed to be tended to. There was a lot of making do with what I had. We didn't have the likes of period undies back in those days. I didn't get out much in public at all, instead staying inside for fear of being caught, fear of being seen, and of losing the freedom I finally felt. Freedom that made me feel lighter and more hopeful, even though I was still a prisoner to myself. Another difficult part of running away as a teenager was having to drop out of school, which I loved. I'd always been a clever kid, a smart kid, intelligent and funny. Like many 15-year-old runaways who drop out of high school, I got knocked up at 16 and became another pregnant, porirua teen statistic. I was madly in love, and when I gave birth to my beautiful daughter Cheyenne, she was my miracle gift from the universe, helping me to focus on what's positive and what's possible. I remember the birth as clear as day. It was a beautiful, sunny Christmas day, 1994. I used to joke about it being a miraculous conception because she was born on Christmas Day, and she was the most beautiful baby I'd ever seen. On the morning of her birth, I remember the midwife driving me to Porirua to see my family since I was living in Petone at the time. And I made chop suey in between contractions. My dad said to me, "You're not having baby today, you're not due for ages." But mum said, "Oh yes she is, she knew, having birthed six beautiful baby girls herself." I wasn't actually due until January, but stress brought on an early labour. Stress caused by a cheating partner. I had a history of feeling pain, but the pain of someone cheating on you and while you're pregnant, that was a pain like no other. My heart was broken in ways I'd never felt before, and that dark cloud came to visit me again. I wasn't scared at all about becoming a new first-time young mum, since I'd helped raise my younger sisters, including twins, who were only two when Cheyenne was born. Parenting came so naturally for me, but let's be honest, I was still a kid, responsible for raising a kid, and so I did the best I could with the tools that I had at the time. I didn't always make the best decisions for myself or for her, and I get really emotional now when I think about how I could have been a better parent or how I could have been more present. She was such an awesome kid, and her whole life she's been such a beautiful soul. All she ever wanted was for her mum to be there, to see her. I love you, Shai, and I see you. After things with her dad ended, abusive relationships followed, because that's all I knew. And that's all I felt worthy of until that burning knowing returned, reminding me I could either go down that track towards the tunnel vision future I fought so hard to escape, or choose to provide my daughter with a better life. Along came my childhood friend Darlene, another massive lighthouse in my life. She and her beautiful whānau took me and Cheyenne, showed us love, showed us we were worthy of so much more. I'll be forever grateful for Da, Vina, John Boy and Nanny Sue. Having a baby can help mend the once broken dreams and can help build a bridge to a better future. Having my baby allowed me the strength to reunite with my family. As there'd been a lot of healing done in our home, it was by no means perfect, but it was far cry from what it had been. I even moved back to my family home with Cheyenne to get support from my family to help raise her so I could chase my career dreams. It takes a village. It was then that I started to assess and realize that hurt people hurt people. What had happened in our home was a cycle that unfortunately continued to repeat itself. A cycle that I fight so hard not to repeat with my own family. Mum and Dad, please know that what I have experienced in my life has guided me to become the person that I am today. I'm a pillar of strength for myself and for others. And I know that you both did the best that you could with the tools that you had at the time. And this awareness has helped me to release a lot of built-up anger that I have held on to for far too long. So, that is probably a third of the story. And what I wanted to say to finish that is, we all have a story, and our story shapes us into the people that we are today. And we shouldn't compare stories. My story is no better nor no worse than yours. I didn't have a worse upbringing than you did. We all have our story, and that's what makes us unique. It shapes our beliefs. It forms our values. It makes us who we are today. We all have a story, and our stories are relevant. And if you were triggered by parts of my story, please reach out and get some help. Talk to somebody. If it brings up things for you that you've also tried to keep hidden in the back of your mind because you don't want to acknowledge it, maybe it's time to talk about it. You can free yourself from so much pain not being a victim to your story. Ngā mihi nui kia koutou, Tania. Real Talk could be coming to a town near you, so check out the Real Talk website, www.realtalknz.co.nz, or follow us on our Instagram at real_talk_nz to find out where we'll be next. I got you, Real Talk.